still on Luke 11:22. We're studying this word overcome. Nikael, be successful in terms of dealing with something. In this case, it's Christ overcoming the evil one. And then you overcoming because of his overcoming, you overcome. But this is a biggie because you're not an inanimate object that he comes and beats on. You have to be willing always. Otherwise, his overcoming is meaningless to you. So, let's go to Revelation. We went through Revelation 5, I think. Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation is always seen from the top down. There's no possibility of understanding Revelation unless you are in the same place that the angel was and saw from the same place that John did. Come see was the constant exhortation of the angels to John. Now here's what he saw in line with the seventh trumpet. Let's start in chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become of our Lord." Kingdoms is not there. The second kingdoms, and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now again, every time these 24 elders fall, it's another testimony that it's finished. And the four beasts, the four beasts represent the four cardinal points of the compass. The 24 elders are the 24 courses of the priesthood. And so anytime that they fall or go bowing down, it means everything is finished and they're in total agreement with the Lord and his Christ. What?
What is a course of a priesthood?
If there's 24, I don't think I've ever heard.
We studied that pretty intently when we were studying high place activity, but just that doesn't include the high priest. The 24 courses are down to and including such things as those that administer the ashes of the red heifer, administer the lighting or making sure altar of incense is complete. There was a course of the priesthood that they had to make sure there were no worms or bugs in the wood that was used on the brazen altar. There were courses of the priesthood that administered different aspects of the law all over Jerusalem. There was a huge number in Jericho. All over the Israel itself. There were some up in Galilee even. But they all had various functions. Some were for, that was their permanent place. Others
like a rotating.
Took turns doing things. So.
So when they bow down, it's as if to say their
work is finished.
They've done it, it's good.
And remember, in the temple, that was the temple that stood in Jerusalem, there were no chairs. There was no place to sit. Because as long as the temple in Jerusalem was standing, there couldn't truly be the Sabbath. Did you hear what I just said?
No.
The temple in Jerusalem, both, all the way back to the temple of Solomon, to the Zerubbabel, to the temple of the Herod built temple, there were no seats in the temple. It signifies that as long as that temple was standing, there could never be a true Sabbath or rest. And so when the temple was finally destroyed, now why was it destroyed about 40 years after Christ? It was to give everybody in that generation a chance, and that was alive then, see Christ in the law, even though they were still following there. Even though the veil had been rent, people had seen there was no Ark of the Covenant, but still, if they could see Christ in the sacrifices, then they had a chance before they died, if you will. So, how do we get them that? Again, that's why when Jesus said it's finished, it was the biggest statement you could make.
There was a lot behind it.
All right. Back to chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 16 now. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now, see, there were seats in the temple in the type in the New Jerusalem, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth, or corrupt the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Now this is, you can't possibly understand the first part of chapter 12 unless you understand that the gospel and the stars at Virgo. And anyway, let's watch. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." Now this is what the whole mystery of that star, of that constellation Virgo, and then the decan called Coma. And that Coma was, remember, the woman was seated in a chair holding an infant in her hand, in her lap. And sometimes, in some pictures of it, she was suckling the infant. But that signified, that's always been there since time began. But then on the 65 million years before, It took that light, the star in the head of the child, supernova. It took 65 million years for that light to reach the Magi. And this one gives me chills. In time that they could travel to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem to see and offer the gifts to the child before Joseph and Mary and Jesus left for Egypt. So never doubt God's timing. So anyway, that's what this is about. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." And that's exactly what the sign of the serpent does. It's a 1/3 of the circle of the sun is covered or is encompassed by the snake. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And again, well, what this was, the sign in the heavens was completed in earth, because Satan in Herod was going to kill the child. Does anybody else see the bigness of this? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, I mean, that's everything that says, that everything we've just, that this just said is pictured in the gospel in the stars. Every culture, and every ancient culture, had a resurrection, but they all got it all screwed up because, you know, they'd be again putting what was, like kings always put themselves in the stars, and slowly but surely, this mystery of the meaning of the stars became polluted, until now it's astrology. Purpose of the stars and the gospel in the stars and the, what's called the Maseroth in the Bible is the mystery of God showing its completion in the circle, which goes around every year. So it's, you see it every year. The gospel is being preached to everyone. But it's always, it's not always, it's always a few. It's polluted by making it something to do. Originally it meant what was the purpose of time and space. Now it's what are you going to eat for breakfast or some other crap. All about self-realization. Just as this was polluted to self-realization.
But without some guidance or quote-unquote a preacher or something to read the stars.
Let's go to Psalm 19. See, I was going to talk about that, then I forgot to, and then there's more. Then you came around, and boom. The heavens declare or express the glory of God. The sky or the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth or reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or their influence has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat or the influence thereof. The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven from the beginning of time. It's always there. Go to Colossians 1. You think God would leave the preaching to idiots like us?
Well, somebody, some random person looking at the stars.
Been passed down to every generation.
Yeah.
was passed down. Like the reason, the only two structures that predate the flood on earth, in my opinion, are the Great Pyramid at Giza, which is an incredible revelation of Christ. It's the only tomb, it's the only pyramid that wasn't built for a tomb. And in the measurements, various measurements, there's nothing in the king's chamber. There's it's empty. There's nothing in the queen's chamber. It's empty.
An empty sarcophagus, which reveals the
there's no sarcophagus.
There is. It reveals the resurrected Christ.
There's no sarcophagus, Pete. It's just an empty room.
You know, I promise you, I've read and studied.
Pete,
the one in the top room?
Yeah, the one in the top room is only a stand for the sarcophagus. There's no sarcophagus, I promise you. Well, because there isn't a sarcophagus. That would change the meaning if there was. Somebody might have said something that this that stand was an indication of a sarcophagus.
The way the author interpreted it was it revealed the resurrected Christ because it was empty and never had anything in it. So.
Which author are you talking about? All right.
Some sweet.
What?
Some sweet.
Yeah. We're starting verse 1. I mean, chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth as it doth also in you since the day you heard. You heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. The gospel come into all the world. Now go over to chapter 1 still. In verse let's start at 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel is revealed in everything. It's revealed in every time a farmer plants something. It's revealed in the falling leaves. It's revealed in the seasons. So its preachment isn't dependent on men. We are to go over through all the world. As we go into all the world, we make disciples. It's not make converts. There's gospel. I mean, just what's happening in the Arab countries now, among the Muslims. There's tons of Muslims that have become believers in Ishi, which is the Arab word for Jesus, because they had a dream about his fulfillment and what it meant to them. I mean, I just want you to know that the gospel, its preaching of it, wasn't left to men. Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's go with the Revelation. Well, we didn't get back. We're still in. Go back to Revelation 12. We took a side trip.
Mm-hmm.
verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And that's critical and what that means, but we're not going to talk about it because we'll never get done right now. And this next few verses are what we want to talk about. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Into the earth. Into, not on the earth. Now, and I heard a voice from, a loud voice, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. So he's cast out into the earth. Now, and he was defeated in terms of his power by Jesus Christ. You understand that? So, we are empowered, and that's what it'll say in the next few verses, to be no longer his children simply by the recognition of futility and emptiness. So it's a fail-safe mechanism. God, because of the fall, you have no choice. You're hardwired for self-protection, self-realization, self-everything. But by the end, you come to the position where you say, my God, my mind has always lied to me. It's never been my friend. And that's why Abraham was so important, because he was the first person to define truth. And Jesus is truth. And now, if we give breath, that means, remember the word love. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love is agapeo, not agape, because it's a verb. And that's a common verb form in ancient Greece, just to simply mean something you think is important. If you think something is important in time and space, then you love the world. And when you love the world, then the love of the Father removes himself. Because you've returned from the place of seeing everything as vanity and empty, you've returned to the place of ranking things in time and space, of having an investment in something you're doing in time and space. So you return to giving breath to the things in the world, and then God, by his Holy Spirit, has come along and whap you. See that? It's a whole grand, and this it was all revealed in before time began. We didn't finish what we're doing in Revelation, but we made a point. I mean, start. Anybody have any response to any of this? Take it, big guy. What did he say?
Time and space.
Take it, big guy.